They don't know what to feel. They don't know what to do. But I'm here to help you wake up today and get moving again, because I feel like we are on dangerous ground right now of moving back into old patterns rather than moving forward. I understand the reality of the coronavirus, but I also understand the reality of who God is, okay? I understand the reality of what might be happening in your life, but I also understand what might God be trying to teach you in your life. And so we have to position ourselves to receive what God is trying to get us to receive now, so that we don't lose out on the opportunity that God has given us. There is an opportunity that God has given you right now to stand up, to fight, and to move forward and reclaim what you've lost, so that God can begin to pour out his spirit on the earth again. This is what God's heart is right now for us as a body, is to get us ready so that he can pour his spirit out on the earth. And you being part of the earth and being the vessels that God wants to use have to get in position. And I don't care what it looks like, and I don't care what you've been through, that you have to make a stance and posture your heart and ready your mind to go into battle, because God is sending us into that. Whether or not you agree with it or not, it is the truth. We are starting a series today called Trending, and the question is, which way are you trending? As we talk about apathy and zeal, where are you trending? Are you moving away from God, or are you moving toward God? The enemy would like nothing more for you to move away from God, because the season has been hard, it's been difficult, I don't see the breakthrough, and I don't see what truth is. And instead of moving toward God, we move away from God, thinking that God doesn't have the answer, or he is not the answer. And we begin to question ourselves and question whether or not what God promised us is actually true, and whether or not he's going to come through for us. And the reality is, he is going to come through for us, but you have to remember who he is. He does not change. He does not shift. He does not abdicate responsibility. He does not change his mind. When God says, I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And he's reaching out to us and say, church, will you take up arms again? Will you move forward with me again? And let's see my kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God is trying to wake us up. And we have to be careful that we don't stay asleep. There's this term today we're now using, woke. I mean, that person is woke. They got woke, okay? So I'm here to tell you today that God wants to woke you, okay? That God wants to wake you up and put a fire under you so that light shines again, and so that you don't fall into the trap that the enemy has set. There is a heaviness that the enemy has brought into not just the body, but our community and our nation, and people are sleepwalking right now. They're sleepwalking. And they're just walking around, just trying to get through their day, not realizing that the enemy is robbing them of life. But you have the truth of Jesus Christ living inside of you. That truth is not dormant. It is alive. It doesn't matter if you feel dead. It is alive. And that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It will quicken your mortal body. And how many of you would agree? I need some quickening, okay? I need my body to be quickened. God said, I want to give it to you. My spirit is already there. So when I quicken you and I challenge you, get moving. I'm telling you to move through it faster so that I can do what I need to do faster, so you don't get caught in the web of deception that the enemy is trying to catch you in. We are walking in deception right now. The body is walking in deception. Instead of fighting the real enemy, we are fighting ideology, we are fighting each other, and we're thinking that, well, if I fight the ideology and I let my stance be known, then I'm doing something for God. And God has said, you don't have to do anything for me that I don't allow you to do. I know who I am. I just need you to stand up for me. Remember, it's not being PC, it's being JC. So stop getting caught in what he said and what she said. It doesn't really matter. What did I say? When you are walking in that realm with me spiritually, because we are now in the spirit realm, what am I telling you? What am I showing you? Walk in that. Don't get caught in what they're saying or what they're doing, because what they're saying and what they're doing is coming from a place that may not be from me. And if you can't discern whether or not it's from God or not, don't do anything. Allow God to be the navigation tool that you need to go where you need to go. And stop trying to figure out what's the next move. What is the world telling me to do? I hope he gets in. Because if he gets in, whoever God puts in office is going to be in office. It's up to you to honor God, respect authority, and believe that God is going to work out his plan and purpose according to his good plan and purpose. Okay? And so you just have to be in position and be ready for what God wants to do, because he is mobilizing the earth and getting ready for a move, and you can't afford distractions right now. You can't afford it. There are things happening right now that are distracting people, distracting their eyes. They can't see right. And all that's happening is that as you're being distracted, the enemy is mobilizing, he's moving. Because your target and your face is looking at someone else and look at what they're doing, and he is sneakily moving past you. Suck in faith. Suck in joy. And we wonder why. I'm just not seeing God in this season. God has not hidden himself to the point where he cannot be found. The reason why we went into our series and God was so good when we talked about focus is because we were allowed to take a deeper look and to see what God is really doing. Because if you want to see the heart of God and what God is doing, you got to go deeper in just what's happening in the surface. We got a lot of surface dwellers. People who are in the kiddie pool. They don't want to go out into the deep because it's dangerous out there. Me and my brother-in-law and my daughter a couple weeks ago, we went surfing. And it was an experience. We're at Honeymoon Island. And we went surfing. And we had a great time. But there's some essential things that I learned, because every time I go out, I learn something. Everything is a message that God begins to speak, and I began to see some things that I haven't seen before. And that when you go out on Honeymoon Island, it's very shallow, and as you wade through it, there's these little rocks that you got to wade through. And if you're not careful, that rock will trip you up because you don't see it. You think you're smooth, and all of a sudden the rock hits, and it's not just one rock. It's a rock here. It's two rocks. And when you keep moving, you start hitting a rock, and it begins to irritate you. And it cuts you a little bit. And we were joking. We're like, are we going to get past these rocks? Because we were having to almost catch ourselves before we moved, because we were concerned if was there going to be another rock that was going to come. And it wasn't enjoyable anymore. You're like, I just have to get past this part so I can actually get out deeper, because I can then get on my board and begin to ride out among the waves where it's safer, because I'm on something that's stable. I'm on something that's stable. When you stay shallow and you begin to put yourself in positions that God said, listen, this is too much for you, or this is too little for you now, you run the risk of actually cutting yourselves on things that God says, I don't want you to cut yourself on that anymore. You're not in fifth grade anymore. I need you to move out further. And I think what we're seeing in the body of Christ is we're seeing a lot of pettiness. And we're seeing a lot of things come up and take place that God says, if you will just go out deeper with me, you'll leave the shore, and I'll be the navigation. I'll be the stability that you need to ride out on the waves, because I'm out there. That's where I am. Everyone wants to stay here. But when you go out and you begin to see that God is there, he takes your hand, and you begin to go up over things and through things that God wants you to go up and over through. God never called us to stay on the shore. Maybe there are some things in your life that you feel like you're getting cut on right now. Just getting cut. Everywhere you walk, I'm just getting cut. And could God be saying, listen, I need you to get away and cut away from those things in your life that are not working for you anymore. You've matured out of that. I need you to walk by faith now, and not by sight. And trust me that if I'm calling you out there, it's for your good, and I'm trying to protect you from the rocks that are there. That was your old life. You're not there no more. Your new life is with me. the just shall live by faith. And so now, that means when God calls me out, he's calling me out, and my response is a response of faith, no matter where I might be going and no matter where he might be leading me. And so that means I have to be willing to leave that area. And if you're in here and you're uncomfortable, it's for a reason, because God's saying, get away from the shore. There's nothing there anymore. There's nothing there. Kids are playing on the shore. They're building sandcastles, and that's great for them, but that's not you. Stop playing Xbox. You're 38. Stop wondering who you're going to hook up with. It's time to settle down, get in a relationship with me, and see what I have for you in your future. Start saving money for your future. Stop blowing it on stuff that doesn't matter anymore. Get away from the shore. The book of John, chapter 5. This is an incredible story, because we see a man who is laying in a position for too long, way too long. Starting in verse 1, it says this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Verse 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, like most people do, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. You have a man in a condition for 38 years, has an opportunity to get healed, but says, someone else wants it more than I do. And every time I come, they get in before me. It's not like this guy couldn't have come. He says, every time I began to come, someone jumped in. You have to have a mindset that says, it doesn't matter. When the Spirit of God begins to move, I want my healing so desperately, and the presence of God is so valuable to me, that I will move and do whatever I have to do to get into his presence because of what I need. The question to this man was eye-opening. When Jesus looks and says, do you want to be made well? And some would say, well, Jesus was asking him to respond in faith and to really test the condition of his heart. I think Jesus was looking at this guy and saying, hey, bro, it's a long time. And I wonder how many of us God looks down and says, you've been in that a while. Haven't got to the point where you're like, it's time to move on. It's time to heal from that last trauma that happened when you were a kid. It's time to move on from that past relationship that is not coming back again. It's time for you to move on from the childish ways and to take my hand and allow me to walk with you through the fire, through the water, through whatever is necessary for you to become whole so that we can do life again and have a fruitful relationship, you and I. It's time for the church to rise up and put away what God did and say, okay, God, what are you doing now? But that involves the church, the people of the church saying, you know what, I've had enough of what I used to have. I want something different. And God will look down to us and say, listen, church, do you want to be made well? We have churches lacking in the power of the Holy Spirit today. Have a form of godliness, but don't have real power, because it has become about pacification and pacifying members and making sure people feel well and making sure that emotionally they're in a great place, because I have to make sure that they feel good about my message because I'm insecure. And I have to make sure that people are in a good place, because if I don't, they'll leave. And rather than build up, confront, preach truth, people water it down because they're afraid about what the response is going to be. Jesus does not care about what the response is going to be. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, what are they going to say? I don't care. Follow me. You're so concerned about what they're going to do or what they're not going to do. And he's like, be concerned about what I'm asking you to do. How? I didn't die for a church so that they could stay dead. I died for a church so that they can wake up and stay woke. You don't have to go through seasons of dryness. I feel great. Dryness, I feel filled up. This is how a lot of church members live, Sunday to Sunday. I come in on Sunday. Great service this week. It was awesome. Next week, it wasn't that great. It just wasn't that great this week. It wasn't what I was really expecting. Well, what did you do during the last 6 days? Because you're going to come in, and sometimes things are going to be off. We didn't have a drummer today. And so if you're not mature in your relationship with Christ, you can say, well, worship was awful. Because it's not about the drummer. Sometimes I think God would say, clear everybody out. Clear them out. Let's just stand before me, and I'd rather you just worship me and not worry about everything else. Because we come in with a consumer mentality. What can I get today? And if I don't get it, then it wasn't a great experience. When did church become your end-all, be-all for your experience with Christ? When did it? It's your relationship with Christ that matters, then the community that you're involved in, and then what you're doing with that community. Love God. Embrace community. Serve the world. When did it become about the experience? It was a great hour, but I didn't really feel challenged. I don't have time to be in a place that I'm not motivated to do something because of what God is doing. I have to be in a place where I feel like God is challenging and confronting old ways so that I can move on. So it doesn't take me 30 years to finally get over something and to be made well. And Jesus finally says, rise up, take up your bed and walk. When he could have did it. And the guy could have got down and at least made a move to get down. Like, listen, I'm gonna make a move. Roll in, do something. If you know the angel is coming, start now. But what we do is like, God, he said he's coming quickly. And then the mentality that we have is, well, I'll get it right one day. It might be too late. You need to be moving now toward him. You need to be going now. And what God is asking you to do is move now. Sidestep some stuff. Get around some people. God is doing some of you a favor right now. And he said, I'm doing you such a favor. I'm moving people out of your life so that you can come toward me. Because you are so hell-bent on having a relationship with people that you're missing out on what a real relationship with me is like. Until you can get over that, you'll never have the healing that you need. You are so in love with the idea of love that you don't understand that I am love. And that if you just come into me, I'll begin to bind up those wounds. And you'll love me completely. And everyone else will just be an add-on. Or a compliment. And even when they come or where they go, it doesn't even matter because you're secure in me. If you allow me to get in and heal the abandonment, heal the issues, heal the deep wounds, then it won't be so hard for you to follow me. It won't be so hard for you to trust that you'll be whole. instead of you laying on what was killing you, you'll be able to pick it up and take it with you. This guy took up his mat and walked. The thing that was enabling him to stay there. Because sometimes God will pull the rug out and say, now what you going to stand on? We got a God who's serious about a relationship with him. And so when he comes in to test where your allegiance is, that means some stuff is going to move. Coronavirus was a blessing for the church. And I'll say it again. It was a blessing for the church because it pulled the rug out. It pulled the shades up so that people could actually see where their trust is. God's not playing games. God's purpose and God's will go forth. It will go forth. But you have to be in a position, and I lost my voice, and I love it. And you have to be in a position of where you're okay with what God is asking you for and what God is taking. I'm taking it for your good. You know when you were younger and you took medicine and you hated it, right? There was that medicine you just hated. Like, Mom, don't make me do that. You plugged your nose and you just drank it because you had to. You had to. Because it was for your good. And God says, I'm coming in and I'm doing things for your good right now. I'm trying to break down barriers and walls that we've had for years between you and I. I can't get to that spot because you got it so heavily guarded. If you allow me to get in there and heal it. I'm talking right now specifically about stuff. If you allow me to get in and heal where the trauma took place, heal where the wound took place. Let me heal that rejection. Let me heal the abandonment. Let me heal the abuse, the effects of it. Then you'll begin to see the value that you have in me. I'm doing it for you. Oh, Lord, no, you're not. I'm doing it for you because I love you too much. You're dysfunctional. You're not functioning right. And it's not to say that you don't have dysfunction in your life. We're human, but you're so dysfunctional in this area that you can't see and understand what real love is. Here's the reality of a walk with Christ. He doesn't come in and say, I'm just going to save you, and that's it, and we're going to spend eternity. No, he says, I'm going to get in because I need you to see who I really am and make my imprint on you. You know today you're marked, right? You're marked. You are a son and daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are marked today for a purpose. And that means when you are marked for a purpose, that you are someone else's possession. God says, you're my possession now. And what I do with you is my business. Oh, no way. It's my life. No, it's not. When you gave your life to Christ, you no longer live. The Bible says. The life you now live, you live by the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. Why didn't, yeah. Last week, I went to my daughter's cheerleading practice. She's cheering. And at the practice, there are multiple groups going on at one time. There's flyweights, there's midgets, football teams going on, and everyone's practicing in one spot. And I think it was a God thing that I went because I began to see some things about spiritual warfare that I haven't seen necessarily, but I think God was giving me some new revelation about some things. And I had a chance to go over, and she was practicing here, but on the other side, they had moved practice, and some of these kids were practicing in pads. You know, little 7-8-year-old kids. And to see them doing some of the same drills that professionals do, but on their level. And you'll appreciate this. And so they would come in and have these cones up here. And one person would be here. And the other person would be on that side. And they would take turns. One time this person would have the ball. The other time they would be the tackler. And they would reverse. And so the coaches would say, okay, blow the whistle. And they would have to run through the cones and try to get past one another. But The trick was, is that you've got to go through it, not around it. So what was happening with these kids is that because some of them were fearful, because now you're talking about pads and now you're talking about contact now. You're not talking about flag where it's like, got your flag, that's it, you're down. No, now you're talking about we're hitting now, so now there's a risk. There's a risk I can get hurt. And so we had kids going through, and they were running through these lines, and they were trying to tackle each other. Bless them. Lord bless them. They were trying to tackle each other. And you had some kids who were going in full speed, and they were hitting, and other kids were going in, and they were real tentative and waiting. And they would go, and it wasn't really a tackle. It was like an ole tackle, because they were concerned about the hit and the contact. And what I appreciated so much about the coach is the coach said, listen, get up. Do it again. Because what they would do is they would go in, and inevitably one of the kids would start crying because he was so nervous about what he was about to do. And the coach said, what are you crying for? And he said, you're not getting out of this until you stop crying and you go through. And the kid would stop crying. And to make matters so beautifully awesome was his mother, or one of the mothers, was standing by me. And God bless her. She was in that fence like a tenacious dog saying, fight! Fight through it! I want to see you fight! Get in there! And I was getting fired up. She's like, fight! And they're in there. And he's going in, still doing the old leg tackle. But finally, he would tackle someone. She'd be like, yes, you got it. But she kept repeatedly saying, I want to see you fight. It was a mom to her son. And this is one of the issues we have today. Kids who don't know how to fight. Christians who do not know how to fight. They get up to the line. Ellen, put that goat up there for me. You got people, Christians, go up to the line, and what they do is they're like a fainting goat. You know what a fainting goat is? They have a deficiency in one of their genes so that when they get startled, their muscles tighten up and they keel over. They don't lose consciousness, but they're stricken with fear. They're startled when they get surprised. And so you've got Christians going up every single day, and God said, it's time to go into battle. And they're like, oh. Okay, Lord. Okay. Retreating back into what's comfortable. Retreating back into something that helps pacify the fear. Not dying physically, but crawling back into an emotional, infantile state and not getting up and fighting like God has called into fight. Can you imagine? Do you know that's what God looks at you? We get up to the line every single day. Every single day, you have a lane to run in. And God says, I want you to get up to that lane, and I want you to run through these cones. Run through them. Well, on the other side, you have principalities. You have powers. There are rulers of the darkness of this age. There are spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You have those things, okay, that are on the other side, that are already making their advancement toward you. Already. So you, by waiting and hesitating, already lose. Because the idea is for you to confront it, and beat it. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I just gave you the rest of the verse. So, you're not fighting against people. In football, we are, because it's about man on man and domination. But it speaks volumes of what we're fighting in our life right now. Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So you got to get up ready to go. If you try to olay that battle, you're going to lose. Because all God's going to do is bring it back around again and saying, guess what? Get up and do it again. But I can't. He made fun of me. No, listen. He reminded me of my past. I'm bringing up that rejection thing again.
and all this stuff. And God says, if you will just stand firm with the armor that I've given you and run through that thing, I will cause an impact to take place and show you what it means to wrestle. And God is looking at you and saying, will you get up and go? You know, you got the rock with you. So when you go in, it always makes an impact. Not to mention the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So if you don't know who you are and you know what God has said about you, you've already lost before you get in. And God said, I want you to go in. Go in with my authority and make some impact. But Lord, can I do it any other way? No. You've got to go in and wrestle it. This is the beauty of a Christian walk. You get to wrestle with God. And I'm preaching right now and telling you that if you will go in and just wrestle it down, God will give you the victory because he's with you. Son, get up and fight. Fight. Show me you can fight. Lord, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Do it. If I fall down, what does that mean? Get back up again and try it again. All I'm doing is trying to teach you how to have authority. There's no other way. I got to go this way. On the other side, you have accusation coming and God saying, but on this side, you've got truth. Truth always trumps accusation. Accusation is what the enemy does. He accuses the brethren, the Bible says. He is the accuser. And if you don't understand whose you are, you will take that accusation. You'll lose every time. But what he said is, if you get in, you'll begin to learn some things about me, that I am who I say I am. That you have a new life in me. The old is gone, the new has come. That you don't have to walk in fear anymore because I haven't given you a spirit of fear. Well, the way I get over that spirit of fear is actually going in and hitting it. Well, I got identity issues. Well, your old life is gone. Your new life is in me. This is the reality of a Christian walk. It's not coming in and worshiping God for three songs, hearing a great message, and be like, well, that was just great. Isn't being a Christian great? No. You know what the reality of a Christian is? Guess what? Tomorrow morning when you wake up, I got something coming at me. I got to get up, know who I am, take authority, and go after that thing and wrestle that thing. Because if I don't, I'm going to end up losing out on the opportunities that God has given me. Because on the other side of it is breakthrough and victory. But that's the way God has called us to do it. Football is a fantastic sport to watch because both teams are trying to stop one another from making progress and scoring. It would be an awful game if the defense stood there every time the quarterback said hike and did nothing. Just let them go right through. Isn't that a great run? Just so great. Man, I'm glad you're winning right now. I'm glad. You deserve it. How many of us do that? Your goal is to stop the opposition from advancing. Sometimes you're going to have to shed some blockers. You have to get out of the way. You have to tackle the ball carrier. Because that's the name of the game. So when it comes to Christianity, the name of the game is you've got to stop the advances of the enemy. I can't just let them walk through. How many of us are letting them walk through into certain areas? Go ahead, just walk through. Tell me again how I'm not worthy. Tell me again how I can't have it. Tell me again how I'll never amount to anything. Tell me again. Instead of just saying, no, not again. Not again. No. I'm going to have it. I am worthy. I will do it. And that means that I have to take a stance in that. And until you take a stance, that you allow in. But when you take a stance, it'll stop the advances. Because, okay, this is, oh, now you're serious now. Now you groan. and going to test that in you. You got to get to a point in your life. Ever see Happy Gilmore? Adam Sandler would visualize the stuff that was said about him and take him to the nth degree when it came to him playing football. And obviously the movie was fake, but looking at it, the principle is this. You got to get to a point where you visualize some things and say, you know what? I know what I've been through. I know what I went through. I know what God took me from, and I'm not taking anything from you, nothing from you. And so if we got to fight, we're going to fight this thing. I'm going to come in. I'm going to block with one hand. I'm going to cut your leg with my sword. Whatever I got to do, I'm going to fight you. You can't allow them to take that advancement on you. I'm trying to help you understand the fact that if you don't do it, you won't cross into victory. You won't cross to the other side. But Pastor Richie, tell me how God wants to bless me. Tell me how God wants to give me the desires of my heart. Tell me how God wants me to become what he wants me to become. I'm going to tell you. Break down and tear down some strongholds. You remember what stronghold is? A false argument in which people seek shelter so that they can escape reality. You got to tear down some of that stuff. So how many of us are walking in that or know people who have walked in that and there's a stronghold in an area of their life and they seek shelter? There's comfort in that dysfunction in order for them to escape from reality, to know that you don't have to live that way anymore. It is sickening when you live beneath the way God has called you to live. That you don't have to walk in dysfunction in that area. That you can walk healed and whole and take authority back and walk in peace in that area. Because you know you kicked what you had to kick. When we grew up, especially being a guy and being a boy, there was always that play for dominance. Right? Because there's something in men that God has put to rule, to dominate, to subdue. That's what God has called men to do. Remember he told Adam in the garden, subdue, rule, conquer. I'm putting you guys in there to do that. The land is yours. Take care of it. It's subject to you. You are not subject to it. It is subject to you. But along the way, somehow it got reversed. Obviously, Adam fell, abdicated that responsibility. Jesus Christ came in and has brought that restoration back and it continually restoring back to the way it should have been. But there is a fight to get there. So as a man in here, my challenge to you is to stand up and start fighting again. To not apologize for the role that God has placed you in. That you are the head of your household. That wherever you go, God is with you. That God has made you a certain way. And women, as they come along, to compliment and be part of that relationship with their husband, it's a beautiful thing when it works that way. But you're called to be on the front lines and to go and do battle, not only for you, but for your family. You can't afford to miss out on what God has for you. I'm telling you, if you just take heart, it'll help free you from this attitude of being passive that God never intended for his people to be. The reason why people have a hard time seeing a not passive man is because they have become accustomed to that type of lifestyle, but it was never intended by God. The enemy perverts what God said, this is how it should be. That's what he does. It's all about perversion. I can only pervert what God has set in motion. He can't create. He only tries to redo. So don't get it twisted. You're dealing with different type of spirits. You're dealing with perverse spirits. You're dealing with spirits that have control over families generationally in certain areas of sin. You're dealing with things that have been set up for your family's demise, for a community's demise, for a nation's demise. And you're seeing some of those things right now. And so you have to come against those strongholds. And God's saying, I'm looking at you to do that, church. Well, it's just better if someone else to do it. I mean, because you know apathy is, I just lack of concern. I'm really not concerned about it. Oh, really? Until it not only affects you, now it affects your family. And then it starts to affect your nation. Because you know when it affects the nation, we got a problem. It's not a problem until it's a problem. But God said, if you will just start to move, bro, move down to the pool. So when I'm getting ready to move, you can just dive in. Church, if you just start to move toward me and don't wait, that when I start to move, then things will begin to happen in your life. But don't wait for it. Micah, come on up here. I just don't know if I can do this anymore, man. I just don't know. One more time, man. One more time. One more time. One of the greatest blessings and the things that I've seen just being involved with Misty and us kind of being on this fitness journey with us is learning how to push one another when we're at our breaking point, because it's doing it one more time that thrusts us into another level. Because it teaches your body and your mind that you are not master over me, but I'm master over you. And so we've got so many people who are allowing things in life to rule them, and God's saying, it's not supposed to be that way. I need you to rule. I need you to rule your body. I need you to rule your emotions. I'll help you get in. I know where you lack. I'm going to make up the difference. I'm not asking you to be perfect, but I'm just asking you to take up position and begin to learn how to rule, and I'll come meet you. But you got to fight. I can see God just looking down and saying, Linda, just fight. His head is through the fence. God is proactive with us. He's not passive. And when he speaks, he means it. And when he speaks with authority. I want to see you do it, Richie. I want to see you do it, Brock. I want to see you wield what I've given you and know that I'll help you through it. As you're roaring, I'm going to roar behind you. I'm going to show you what I've actually put inside of you that you can win. What is God saying to us too? Hey, listen, we just put that fool down. Put him down. Put him down. God's not nervous. He's your champion. He's the guy in your corner and saying, just take care of him, man. I've already given you authority to do it. Just take care of him. Okay, Lord. And it becomes a thing that you and the Lord do together. And you go in and you just do it. And God says, I told you you could whip that one. I told you you got that one. And guess what? All right, Lord, thank you. Thanks for getting me through that one. Whew. All right. You're getting ready for the next one, right? Next one's coming. He's going to be a little tougher. All right, it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to go through again. I might lose that one. He might pin me back. Because what they did, after they did that drill, then they moved it closer. And they said, now we're going to go one-on-one. Line up against each other and see who can push each other back. So you got the lineman trying to push the defender back as far as he can. And you got some kids pushing people back real well. Other kids were all laying, trying to figure out what to do. And God says, listen, sometimes you got to get in. And this is the way it works. You got to get in tight. You got to get in real tight. You can't shout your way to victory over here. You got to get in tight with him, man. This is going to be a fight to the death on this one. So you got to get in real quick, and you're going to wrestle, and you're going to feel some stretching and some pulling, and some things are going to happen, but you got to go one-on-one and look this guy in the eye. This is how a real fight goes. You know a real fight. I'm not talking about one of those pansy fights that you had when you were a kid, when you were air slapping. Because you don't want to really hit. Because you were afraid. God said, no, this one, you got to go in. He's going to try air slap you and sucker punch you because that's who he is. But I need you to look right into this guy and go after him with all the might and the power that I've given you. And tear down this stronghold. And fight through your low self-esteem. Fight through your depression. Just fight through it. Oh, wait a minute. So if I'm feeling that way, if I in faith respond, it changes. Yeah. So I'm not waiting on God to come prop me up. Lord, I feel depressed. I'm waiting on you just to encourage me. And God said, I'm waiting on you to encourage yourself. Stand up, because without faith, it's impossible to please me. When I see your countenance change, guess what? So does mine. When you change, I'm ready to go, because that's how I respond. And all of a sudden, I begin to encourage myself in the Lord, and I feel better. My perspective changes. I'm rejuvenated because I've learned some stuff now. I'm not a kid anymore. I'm more mature. I can do it on my own. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah. And then it becomes a matter of, if God is for me, who can be against me? Who can be against me? Listen, we went into this tough, you were in me, you were with me for this last one, and that was hard. Man, there's nothing I can get into, you won't be in with me. And God said, if we get in together, no one's going to be able to stand against you, no one's going to be able to defeat you, but let's just get in together. Get away from the shore. All the kids are playing on the shore. I need you to get out here. The adult table. And let's wrestle some stuff down. I feel really good. Stand up right now. Let's all stand up. This is the adult table. We're eating. We got stuff to eat, me and you. Richie, we got stuff to talk about. You know, God talks to me a certain way. I know how he talks to you. I was telling this to you last night. I might have said this before, but it was a season of my life where we were going through some stuff, and I was going through some stuff, and I felt God just speak to me and say, son, if I can get up, you can get up. Get up, essentially. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Get in there and do what I've called you to do, because when I'm in it with you, what's the worst that can happen? I wonder how many of us today are waiting on God to do something, and God said, I'm waiting on you just to respond in faith and stop looking at someone else. Stop staying in that place where I've caused you to leave. Get out of that place. Take off the masks that you have on. I'm not talking about physically. Just tear down the mask, he said. Listen, let me get in there. You've been masquerading too long. Let me show you what a real walk with me looks like. Because I want to show you that it's possible to have victory. I want to show you that it's possible to win. The Bible says to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We're going to end with a song tonight, this morning. I want us to leave here on a high note, because guess what? Tomorrow, you're going back into battle. And you're going to get out tomorrow, and there's going to be something staring you right in the face, and you're going to have the confidence to know that if God is for me, who can be against me, and that it's time to go. I'm not waiting for you to come to me. I'm going to come to you. See, that's when you know you've changed. I got this shirt on right here. It says Monster Hunter. I had no idea. But when I was thinking about this and I woke up today, I was thinking, you know what, this is a perfect shirt for this today. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, monsters, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You got to have that mentality that says, not today, Satan, not today. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the work that you're doing in your people even now. The grace that you've given us to stand this far and to overcome. Thank you, God, for the victory and the ground that we are taking. No matter if we feel like we're up to it, if we feel like we're doing it, I thank you that by faith we are, and that you're giving us the ability to walk again, to fight again, to do it one more time, as a mom would looking at her son and says, you can do it, fight. That you would restore that back into people today. That people would have just an understanding of your love for them, and that would cause them to go forth into the enemy's camp, to know that you're for them, looking for stuff to tear down. Thank you that you set us up for this time, that you're getting the church ready this time for a great outpouring of your Spirit and putting us in that position. Thank you, Lord, now for helping us strip away things that are besetting us, that are hindering us, so that we can run this race effectively. Effectively. Winning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all give God a praise offering.